I learned a great deal from Paul about the latest scientific understanding of emotion. I understand that modern cognitive science draws distinctions between two principal categories of emotions: basic emotions and what some people refer to as higher cognitive emotions. By basic emotions, scientists mean those emotions which are thought to be universal and innate. As in Buddhist lists, the precise enumeration differs by researcher, but Ekman mentions as many as 10, including anger, fear, sadness, disgust, contempt, surprise, enjoyment, embarrassment, guilt, and shame. As in the Buddhist mental factors, each of these is seen as representing a family of feelings. By the higher cognitive emotions, scientists mean a series of emotions that are also universal, but whose expression is subject to considerable cultural variation. Examples include love, pride, and jealousy. Experimenters have observed that while basic emotions appear largely to be processed in the subcortical structures of the brain, the higher cognitive emotions are associated more with the neocortex, the part of the brain that has developed most in human evolution, and is most active in complex cognitive activity, such as reasoning. I realize that all this represents the very preliminary results of an ongoing and quickly evolving discipline, which may well undergo a radical paradigm shift before it settles into a consensus. Buddhism assumes the universality of mental afflictions in all sentient beings. The key afflictions are seen as expressions of attachment, anger, and delusion. In some species, such as human beings, the expressions of these are more complex, while in certain species of animals, their manifestations will be more rudimentary and more nakedly aggressive. The simpler they are, the more such processes are considered to be instinctual and less dependent upon conscious thinking. In contrast, the complex expressions of emotion are seen as more susceptible to conditioning, including by language and concepts. So the possibility that the basic emotions, according to the classification of modern science, are associated with parts of the brain that are much older in terms of evolution and shared with the animals offers a potential parallel with Buddhism's understanding. From an experiential point of view, one difference between the afflictive emotions, such as hate, and wholesome states, such as compassion, is that the afflictions tend to fixate the mind on a concrete target, a person to whom we become attached, a smell or sound we want to push away. The wholesome emotions, by contrast, can be more diffuse. So the focus is not confined to one person or one object. There is, therefore, in Buddhist psychology, a notion that the more wholesome mental states have a higher cognitive component than the negative afflictions. Again, this might prove an interesting area of comparison and research with Western science. Given that the modern science of emotions is grounded in neurobiology, the evolutionary perspective is bound to remain the overarching conceptual frame. This means that, in addition to explorations of the neurological basis of individual emotions, attempts will be made to understand the emergence of specific emotions in terms of their role in natural selection. I'm told there is, in fact, an entire discipline called evolutionary psychology. To an extent, I can see how evolutionary accounts can be given for the emergence of basic emotions such as attachment, anger, and fear. However, as in the neurobiological project that attempts to tie particular emotions to specific areas of the brain, I cannot envision how the evolutionary approach can do justice to the richness of the emotional world and the subjective quality of experience.